नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 7, entitled Scheduled Incarnations, text number 40. Vishnor Nuvirya Gananam Gatamor Hatiha. Vishnor Nuvirya Gananam Gatamor Hatiha. Yak partivanya pika virve mamera jangsi. Yak partivanya pika virve mamera jangsi. Chaskambaya sorahasa kalata tripristam. Chaskambaya svarahasas kalata tripishtam. Yasmatri sangya sadana durukampayanam. Yasmatri sangya sadana durukampayanam. Vishnor Nuvirya Gananam Gatamor Atiha. Yak Partivanya Pikavirve Mamera Jangsi. Chaskambaya Svarahasas Kalata Tribhrishtam. Yasmatri sangya sadana durukampayanam. Vishnur Nuvirya Gananam Gatamor Atiha. Yak partivanya pikavirve mamera jangsi. Chaskambaya sarahasas kalata tripishtam. Yasmatri sangya sadana durukampayanam. Vishnor Nuvirya Gananam Gatamor Atiha. Yak Partivanya Pikavirve Mamera Jangsi. Jaskambaya Svarahasas Kalata Tripristam. Yasmatri sangya sadana durukampayanam. Vishnu nabhiya gananam gadamoradiha. Urukampayanam Vishnor Nuvirya Gananam Gatamor Atiha. Yak Partivanya Pikavirve Mamera Jangsi. Chaskambaya Svaharasas Kalata Tribhishtam. Yasmatri Sangya Sadana Durukam Vayanam. Atiha. Ladies, Vishnu Nudirya Gananam Gadamoratiha. Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, Nu, but, Virya, prowess, Gananam, in the matter of accounting, Gautama, who else, Arhati, is able to do it, Iha, in this world, Ya, one who, Pritivani, I'm sorry, Parthivani, the atoms. Api, also. Kavi, great scientist. Vimame, might have counted. Rajangsi, particles. Chaskamba, could catch. Yaha, one who. Svarahasa, by his own leg. Ashkalata, without being hampered. Tripristam, the topmost planetary space. Yasmat, by which. Trisamya, the neutral state of the three modes. Sadanat, up to that place. Urukampayanam, moving very greatly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One who, who can describe completely the prowess of Vishnu? Even the scientist who might have counted the particles of the atoms of the universe cannot do so, because it is he only who, in his form of Trivikram, moved his leg effortlessly beyond the topmost planet, Satyaloka, up to the neutral state of the three modes of material nature, and all were moved. Purport. The highest scientific advancement of the material scientist is atomic energy. But the material scientist is not able to have an estimation of the particles of atoms contained in the whole universe. But even if one is able to count such atomic particles, or is able to roll up the sky like one's bedding, even then one is unable to estimate the extent of the prowess and energy of the Supreme Lord. He is known as Trivikrama, because once in his incarnation of Vamana, he expanded his leg beyond the highest planetary system, Satyaloka, and reached the neutral state of the modes of nature, called the covering of the material world. There are seven layers of material coverings over the material sky, and the Lord could penetrate even those coverings. With his toe, he made a hole through which the water of the causal ocean filtered into the material sky, and the current is known as the sacred Ganges, which purifies the planets of the three worlds. In other words, no one is equal to the transcendentally powerful Vishnu. He is omnipotent, and no one is equal to or greater than him. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sivarve Namah. Ukam Guru Divachalam Pangam Langayate Giram Yalkipadam Hamande Sigurum Dinatam. Paramananda Maravam Sri Chaitanya Ishwar. So, here is a definitive definition of God. That how can we put a limit to his position, his qualities, his activities, his creations, or his abilities. It says here, we're reading so wonderfully, Srila Prabhupada is giving us that the Lord was able to assume this wonderful form of Trivikram, or he who takes three steps, and one who is the performer of heroic or extraordinary acts. This is a description that's beyond the scientific community. And although they may be very capable in some respects, as Prabhupada points out here, how by their advancement and in society they're considered the most intelligent, in some circles anyway, that they've been able to discover this atomic energy. And with their research, they discover how to make energy either by fission or fusion. Ultimately, it's all about creating a death weapon. That instead of creating a condition or an item which will help a society, and of course there's limited benefits, they like to say, right? That there's energy, cheap energy, that there's no ozone produced. They don't want to say how the negative side of it, that the water and the minerals that were used are forever toxic. And we have experiences within our history of such situations, whether it be bombs being thrown somewhere, or whether it's an explosion within a reactor, or whether it's contaminants that have gotten into the water systems and people have died. They may be glorified in their own way in some circles by those who are certainly less intelligent. Despite all of their what's the word? Achievements and their prizes. People like to laud them in so many ways, right? They give them some prize, give them some medal that they can hold on their neck or whatever. Despite all of that, Prabhupada points out here that they're not able to give an estimation of the particles of atoms contained in the whole universe. That despite all of their achievements, and they can do so many things, certainly, although they don't know the repercussions, generally we find out years later how taking this or doing that is causing such and such problem and such and such problem. Even despite all of that, progress, so-called progress, they cannot even count or estimate the atomic particles which are here within this one universe. And what to speak, there are millions of universes, unlimited universes. So what kind of achievement is that? And even if they are able to, as Prabhupada points out here, even if they are able to count such atomic particles or are able to roll up the sky like one's bedding, even then one is unable to estimate the extent of the prowess and energy of the Supreme Lord. Even after all of that, endeavor, still, and Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, what is it? Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna. That Krishna knows everything that's happened in the past. The scientists cannot give us that information. They may have some speculative idea, but Krishna knows exactly what may have happened in the past. He has a perfect memory. He knows exactly what, we can't even remember what happened yesterday at this time. It's very difficult, or maybe even a few hours ago. It's a challenge. Where did you leave my keys? Or where is this such and such thing? Or, oh no, my gosh, I have an appointment. So we can't remember. We're so limited. But Krishna knows everything that's happened in the past. He knows what's happening now, certainly, at the present. He's quite aware of what's going on in this corner of the world or that corner. We may try to put out our tentacles and try and figure out what's happening in this part of the world with our internet or with our this thing or that thing. But again, that it's so limited. But Krishna is able to reach out beyond all space, as Prabhupada points out here very nicely. That Trivikram, by his three steps, was able to penetrate all of those coverings which are beyond our conception, how vast they are. So, the Lord is, the Lord not only knows the past, he knows what's going on now, and then he knows what's going to happen in the future. He's quite aware of that. And we can try to speculate, you know, that with our adjustments, this is what's going to happen in our social lives, or this was what's going to happen in our political lives, or this is what's going to happen in economics, etc., etc., our health. We can make so many speculations, but Krishna knows for certain exactly what's going to happen. There's no speculation. The Lord has potencies, and he has nothing to do. It's not that he has to endeavor to do all of this like we do. We have to work like crazy just to make it the next day. Just to be able to make ends meet, we have to work like crazy. People are struggling so hard in society, in the world. They're struggling so hard just to survive, just to be alive the next day. It pains the devotees that sometimes we see how people in affluent conditions take so cheaply a little bottle of water or a little morsel of food when there are people dying that don't have anything, that they don't have a drink of water, they haven't had anything for days or weeks, or had anything to eat for the longest time. And they get bloated stomach. And I mean, everyone knows it, and has seen and heard these kinds of stories, but it's a fact. So this kind of so-called advancement, what is it? It's really a teeny, just a drop as compared to what the Supreme Lord knows. And yet no one knows him. He knows everyone. He knows everything that's going on, certainly. But him, no one knows. And Krishna explains, of course, why. Siddvesha simuktena dvanda mohena bharata. That everyone here in this material world are born into some delusional condition. We're deluded. And thinking that we're young, old, black, white, this, that. This political system, that society. It's all a delusion. And we're being deluded by our desires and our hates. Oh yes, I want this. Oh no, I hate that. This is the condition in the material world. Tribhir gunamayir bhavar ebi sarvamidam jagat. Because everyone is being controlled by the modes of nature. And they don't know it. I just remember one time, I can't remember who gave a class. It was some a devotee was speaking about Sankirtan devotees and how I can't remember exactly what the reference was to now, but I just remember the one line. It just sort of stamped itself in my brain that he said, they love us, but they don't know why. It's a fact. They actually are attracted to the devotees. They are attracted to devotional life, but they don't know why. Because they're so deluded by their desires, they can't see it clearly. They can't see clearly why Krishna consciousness, why devotional service, why the practice of bhakti yoga is so important and so attractive. They can't see it. Just as here, we're hearing this wonderful story of Vamanadeva. There's a wonderful, Prabhupada is so nicely describing here how he expanded his leg beyond the highest planetary system and reached the neutral state of the modes of nature. Now, someone may ask, why do we want to hear this? What purpose? What purpose is there to hearing these kinds of descriptions? And the answer is given in the Bhagavatam, where it's described that yats tradaya shudavatya chabaktya samridjamana hridaye vidaya. We want to hear these descriptions because they pacify us. By hearing about these wonderful activities and words of the personality of Godhead with eagerness and devotion, and meditating upon them within the heart, one is enlightened with knowledge. And on the strength of that knowledge, one is pacified. Unfortunately, because the mass of people have not heard about the transcendental activities of the Lord, they're so disturbed. Sunday, Srila Prabhupada was so nicely describing the mercy of the devotees right? When he first started out his discourse, his 15-minute welcome address, the first thing that Srila Prabhupada said was, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva. And should I say something? It's the same thing. And whether it's Harinam or it's the pure devotee speaking, or we're hearing these descriptions, they're one and the same. They're so potent. They're so powerful. And on the strength of hearing those, one develops a detachment from the material world and becomes pacified. Okay, we're peaceful now. Just like we all have experienced that when we talk about devotional life or about the activities of the Lord or His devotees, it becomes pacifying. We become peaceful. Because hearing about the activities of the Lord are not boring. We can hear about our own activities day in and day out. We're hearing the activities of this person or that person, and it's just creating a chaos. Hearing about the activities of the Lord are of a different nature. There's a purpose to them. And again, that purpose is to purify our hearts. That purification pacifies the devotee. It extinguishes that desire for, or that, what is it Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says? Extinguishes the fire of material existence. It extinguishes it. There's and of course, we may not understand, just like here, the Lord is performing these heroic, extraordinary activities of expanding Himself. And we've heard, we've been reading all the other different incarnations. And they may be beyond the range of sense perception, certainly. Or covered by the curtain of delusion, the illusory energy, right? Who was it? Queen Kunti says that? Maya jivanikaschanam agyana dhokshajam avyayam. That your activities, they may be beyond, they're certainly beyond the range of sense perception. And although you're acting just as a actor is on a stage, he plays a certain part, you may come into this world and perform seemingly ordinary activities, but they're beyond. They're actually of a total different nature. To the mundane persons, those who don't know what to be done and what is to be done, what is not to be done, they're totally confused. They're totally confused. But for the devotee, because they're engaged and hearing with eagerness and devotion, those descriptions, they become alive. They become ecstatic. They become real. Therefore, we want to listen to these extraordinary activities, which are so incredible and so attractive. And he does it effortlessly, as Prabhupada points out here. It's just like stepping over an anthill. You ever go on a hike and you see these little anthills and you just effortlessly you step over it without any thoughts. So the Lord, He's performing these wonderful, wonderful activities effortlessly. Just effortlessly. Speaking of ants, one just on a side note, I remember one devotee, his name was Rohini Kumar. Some devotees remember him from here. He was describing one time how in the early days when he was traveling, he was hitchhiking, going from the East Coast to the West Coast to join the movement or join some devotees. And as he was hitchhiking, he stopped in, I think it was West Texas or Arizona. I think it was Arizona. And he was along the highway there. And he got tired. It was late. So he decided, I'm just going to pull off the road here and sleep. So he lay down in some shrub. And in the middle of the night, he woke up. And he was covered with these fire ants. Fire ants. If anyone knows anything about fire ants, they're toxic. If you get bitten by them too much, too many bites, you'll end up in the hospital. And that's actually what happened to him. He was able to make it to the roadway, and somebody picked him up, and they took him to the hospital. He was covered with these fire ant bites. So, point is that sometimes these teeny little creatures, although they may be teeny in one estimation, they can cause a lot of problems. And we're seeing that in society now. These teeny little ant people, they're causing so many troubles in the world. They're just teeny little people. And they're causing so much havoc, whether it be in politics or religion or economics or social conditions, racial conditions. They're teeny little ants. And they can be stepped over very nicely and very easily by taking shelter of the process of bhakti yoga. We can do away with them. We can get beyond that. Just as here, the Lord, just effortlessly, he goes beyond this material, the material coverings. So, wonderful, wonderful pastime here. And we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Hare Krishna Devrata.
So I've been reading Hari Sari's Transcendental Diary recently, and the point that you brought up about the Sankirtan devotees, that they love us but they don't know why. Prabhupada tells something similar to that. I don't think it's the same story that the devotee told, but Prabhupada said that when people see our books, it's like hot sugar cane juice. Oh. It's too sweet to resist, but it's too hot to take simultaneously. So I was appreciating that point that you made. And that's like the closest reference I could think in terms of what you were saying. And then there was another point that I just read yesterday. Oh yeah, Prabhupada was talking about how, you know, in order for people to learn, the teachers need to be speaking the things that they're actually living by. So, you know, scientists will like say, you know, stop smoking, but those same scientists, they may actually smoke. So Prabhupada is giving the example, you know, at that time. I don't know how much it is like nowadays, but at that time, you know, cigarette smoking was very, very popular in America to the point where they had like, you know, smoking sections like that. And he was saying that, you know, they're telling their students to stop smoking, but those same teachers that are telling them not to stop smoking, they're actually also smoking. So the students and the teachers are smoking. And so, you know, I was just thinking of it in relationship to what you were talking about.
Yeah, Prabhupada gives the example of teacher and a student. Yeah, the lady brought her son, and she had some request of him that he please tell her son to stop eating sweets. Right. And he said, come back tomorrow. And so when they came back tomorrow, he instructed the son, stop eating sweets. And the mother asked, well, why did you wait? Because I had the first stop. Because I had the first stop. And then I can give that advice. So, yeah, we have to practice what we preach. That's a fact. Otherwise, it's a Kali Yuga hypocrisy again. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.